an action in which the emotions are involved, which means to say it's essentially an emotional action. Okay? Like, for instance, the best example I can give is that there were those, the Bnei Ezra, there were those that in the night of Pesach, so what they would do is they'd repeat the whole method, all the experiences that the halacha, the halacha that the Jews went through on the night of Pesach, which was Masnechem Chagurim, Nalechem Baraglechem, Makelchem Biyetchem, and the Ibn Ezra says anyone that does that is a kofar. It's a kofar. That would be symbolic. Symbolic means that you're reliving emotionally the experience. It is symbolic, is where man goes into the world of imagination and emotion. Okay, that's against the Torah. We're against such a thing. We have emotions, but the emotions that we have, the emotions are guided by intellectual principles. Like, for instance, Simchas Yom Tov. So there, the chiyuv is for a person to abandon all his personal preoccupations, and to, no matter how intense they are, even if a person is an Avo Rachmanos Litzlan, the chiyuv is to remove himself from that kind of from those emotional attachments, and to designate himself to Simchas Yom Tov, which means Limur, Chetzil Hashem, Chetzil Lachem. That's the kind of emotions that we have in Yadus, but we don't have any kind of anything in Yadus where you simply go into an emotional state of reliving an event or anything like that. We don't have such a thing. Okay, so that's found only by Goyim. Goyim have, in all religions, that's exactly what they do. In Yadus, it's outlawed. It's against Allah. A person that does it is a kafir. No, that's not symbolism. That's a halacha that you have to be in a certain state, that your mind should be able to learn, and you should be happy about the fact that you have the Torah. That's not symbolism. That symbolism is something where you hark back into a past event, or it doesn't have to be a past event. It could be something in the present. It means you're living in the world of emotion. This is not living in the world. This is directing and channeling the emotions towards Chochmas Hashem. That's a different kind of a thing. It's an experience. It involves the emotions, because a person, the emotions must be involved. There's no such thing as if the emotions are not involved. So that means that the person, that's the problem. The person can understand something, and his emotions don't follow. So that's the pasuk. Molar Hashem Lekechas. That's Orlas Halev. Orlas Halev, the phenomenon of Orlas Halev, which is one which no one has yet been able to really solve that problem. It's a big problem. Because you see, certain times a person understands the ideas, and yet his emotions don't follow. What do you do in such a case? I mean, most people don't have that problem. Fortunately, no. Most people, I mean, I'm talking about a major degree. I'm not talking about in small areas. I mean, in major areas like learning and things like that. But there are people that, unfortunates, that even though they see the Derech Chaim of Torah is correct, they can't follow it, and that's Orlas Halev. So there, the Torah discusses it, but the Torah does not give the solution. The Torah just says that in a future day, at some date, which is the Achris Hayomim, that God will somehow or other change that situation. How it will take place, we don't know. Does it mean directly that God will make a change in the human personality? The Rambam seems to be of that opinion. The Rambam obviously is not of that opinion. So according to the Rambam, it will take place through a certain kind of knowledge that will be revealed, which will permit a person to, through that knowledge, to make a change in his personality. And when he sees the ideas, he will be able to direct his emotions towards the performance that is required by those ideas. That's what the pasuk means. But we don't have such a knowledge at this time. We don't have such a knowledge at this time. And it's something that we just don't know what to do about. I mean, we don't have any way of handling it. If somebody comes to me and says, look, I understand all the ideas of Torah, I see it's a true Derech HaChayim, but I can't follow it. There's nothing I could say to him. There's really little or nothing I could say to him. And, sometimes it's a specific psychological problem that can be dealt with. I'm not disregarding that. But many times it's not a neurosis, and if it's not a neurosis, so then it's something which we have no method of coping with or dealing with. And the only thing we have in the Torah about that phenomenon is that in the future, this Yimosu Mashiach, that this will be resolved, but we don't know how or what. Okay? That's the that's basically a fact of Yadus. Orla Salev is mentioned in Torah, is mentioned in Nevi'im, and it's a phenomenon which we don't know how to deal with. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I want you to understand something. In Kabbalah, it doesn't say a word in the Torah, in Vayikra, about identification or anything. It just tells you exactly what the performance is, what the halachic performance is. The only thing you have in the Torah is Visvada, is Vidui. Vidui is tshuva. I mean, that's not a symbol. It's nothing to do with symbolism. It's tshuva. But the Ramban, others give reasons and ideas. That's fine. That's outside our halachic system. Outside our halachic system, there are performances which a person could say that this, for instance, by vidui. So it says the samach yadav. So Ramban says, why yadav? Because yadav means maise ha'adam. Maise yadav l'spoir. So ya yadayim is maise. So it means to say that when he does vidui, the Ramban says, he places his hand on the carbon to remind him that his actions were, his actions were delinquent, you see. So that's true. But that's not a halacha. That's not part of the Torah, and doesn't mention such a thing. But that is nevertheless such an idea is an appropriate idea. But if it's a symbolic thing, if he thinks that by putting his hands on the animal that this is going to somehow or other is creating some kind of reality that's going to be responsible for his kapara, that is symbolism. That would be symbolic. In other words, that's why he had the whole machlokes with the shlagim kaparas. There were those that were very much against it. Why? Because it became a symbolic action. What does it mean symbolic? It means I take this chicken, put it around my head, and through this action and through this kind of emotional state, this is going to this activity is going to be effective in bringing about a kapara. That's symbolic. So in symbolic, the emotional activity is one which is efficacious because of the action itself. That's what symbolism is. That this action is endowed with a religious value per se, you see, because of the symbolic performance. We don't have such a thing. Okay? You have to understand what a symbolic performance is. I can't give you a class on the... If you want to understand it, the best way is to read on, read up in The Golden Bough is a good book. We have all the primitive, and when I say primitive, I mean today's religion is primitive too. Is all this type of stuff, okay? Like they have the goyim have the communion, holy communion. It's a symbolic performance. What? The wafer is all symbolic. This kind of performance is somehow magically endowed with power. That when you do this, it has a religious efficaciousness. You know what I mean? That's what it is. This is against kol hatarkol. That's primitive. It's a primitive activity. We don't have shit. Okay, yeah, we have tshuva. That's not symbolic. I mean, even the Ramban's v'samach yado, by the way, is not symbolic. I want you to understand that. It's not, even though I said it's not mentioned in the Torah, but it's not part of the halachic system, even though it's an idea. But that idea is not symbolic. That idea is that the person should recognize that when he puts his hands, the yadayim, that it should bring to mind the fact that he was a chote. That's not symbolic. That's not symbolic. That's why I say it's not mentioned in the Torah, because if it were mentioned in the Torah, it would mean that this performance per se somehow brings about the kapara. You understand what I mean? But it's not true. That's why the Torah just mentions halacha. But the idea that the Ramban says is certainly a valid idea, any idea which brings a person to tshuva. But the Ramban can't say for sure that that's the... even the Ramban can't say for sure that's what it is. It makes sense. I mean, a person has a right to say that the reason why this mitzvah was given this way is to bring to mind a certain concept. That's not symbolic. I want you to understand it. It's a totally different thing. Totally different thing. Symbolic would be as I described before. If a person would feel that by putting his hands on the head of the animal, that this somehow God's going to forgive him now because he did this symbolic performance. You see, that's nonsense. Okay. He asked me a question about Tashlich. Tashlich, first of all, is not a halacha. Let's differentiate between what's halacha and what's not halacha. Okay? Now, in Tashlich, any minig is, it's a question. There were those who were against Tashlich. The Gron never went for Tashlich. But these things that were introduced, which are sort of like activities which don't have really the status of a chiyuv of a minig, but people do it, the reason why they're introduced was simply, again, to simply to bring a person to mind, to his mind of Rosh Hashanah. That's a Yom Teshuva. That's all it is. There is no value in emptying your pockets. If a person feels by emptying his pockets in the river that this is going to make God give him an atonement, that's symbolic. That's awesome. Okay? If a person goes to Tashlich and he thinks about the fact that he's a chote, that he's mahar b'tshuva, that's good. Okay? Anything else? Yes, in the milsa, you should eat different things, and when you eat on Rosh Hashanah, even the suda of Rosh Hashanah should remind the person of tshuva. Yeah, that we have things like that, yeah.
Yeah, how would living in a sukkah be different than when you're living in the events of Pesach, like Makkah or Yachas?
No, because living in a sukkah, first of all, living in a sukkah is a total halachic structure. It's not even in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You see, it's a totally different time. It's not symbolic at all. Because, as a matter of fact, you can live in a sukkah that doesn't even look like the sukkah that you'd imagine in the time. It's a purely halachic thing. You can have no walls. It's gurasik, gurachis. It's a whole halachic system. There's nothing to do with it.
Is it to remind us of the cloud anyway?
There's no psaka what it's to remind you of. It's machlekes, what the machlekes tamei amitzvah. We have tamei amitzvah, it's a different thing. But in the asiyas amitzvah, it's nothing. If a person sits in the sukkah, does not think at all about the fact that the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, he's yetzir mitzvah, 100%. Is it 100%? There's no question about it. The person sat in an object which is defined halachically as a sukkah. No matter what it looks like, as long as it's defined halachically, in abstract halachic terms, it's defined as a sukkah. If he sits in that kind of an object for 7 days, he's mekayim the mitzvah, even if he never heard about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay? That's the halacha. Yeah, and if he thinks about it, if he makes a structure that is like a haystack, that's something like you would think that they would have used in the desert, and it's he puts on the roof before the walls, so then it's, and then he thinks of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he has absolutely done zero. Okay? So, you see, if it were symbolic, then it would, on the contrary, the person that lives in something that looks more like the thing that they probably used when they went out of Mitzrayim, he would be the one that had the mitzvah. If he thought about it, that would be even better. So, and the other person, who lived in an object which was good achis, and even with regard to schach, the Mishnah, we have it on a slant, and all these halachas over there, a thing that doesn't even look like a sukkah, but it's kilchasa, it's mekayim the mitzvah. And if a person lives in something which you would imagine looks like probably something they use in the desert, and it's pasul apudin, so he's not mekayim anything. So the halacha is completely against this kind of a thing. Ideas, yes, if a person sits in the sukkah and he thinks about the ideas of perfection that the sukkah is supposed to lead a person, that's not symbolic, that's perfection. That's a kiyum. That's a kiyum in perfection. But there's nothing to do with symbolic. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Anyway, finish this topic?
Regarding why is the carrying stick in the backpack on your shoulder not considered a part of the Maaseh Sifrut? Or a vehicle for
that's what I'm telling you. If the person, that's something else, that a person could do things on the night of Pesach to evoke questions, but not symbolic. There's no ways we're symbolic. There's halacha of Sipur. Sipur is an educational process. It's not a symbolic process. It's a totally educational process. Lefi daito shobein ha'ov molamdo. So you might have to, if you have a young child, so you might have to use some audio-visual aids. But as a matter of fact, I mean, you know, the Haggadah is the only book that we have that has audio-visual aids, because it's supposed for a child, it's supposed to give him a concept of at least of the story. But that's not symbolic. It's not symbolic. Learn the Mishnah with him and teach him halachas. Nothing to do with symbolic. It's nothing. It's a totally different thing. Education, knowledge, chachma. Yes, of course. That's Sipur. If you have to use, if a child is, if a person has a son that's either he's very young, or else even if he's older, he doesn't have a very strong mental capacity, so you have to use different means to tell him, to make him aware of the event. That's not symbolic. What's it called? Symbolic. It's teaching. It's learning. Okay? Any more questions on the symbolic? Let's get rid of all these questions now. Okay. Finish with that. Next up. Yeah.
Does, and if so, what role does faith play in the other?
Faith? What kind of faith? Where do you get the word from? Where do you get the word? You mean Emunah?
Emunah.
So I spoke about this a couple of times also. That in Yadus you have two things. You have Yediyah and you have Emunah. With regard to God's existence, you need Yediyah Hashem. Yediyah. That's what the Rambam says. Mitzvah Yisora, Yisoros, Vamana Chachmos, Leida Sheyeshom Lekayim Motzoi. And the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, not Pirush Mishnayos, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, is the same word in Arabic, but people made a mistake because Shmuel ibn Tibbon used Lahamin. But Shmuel ibn Tibbon's Lahamin is based upon the Torah's Lahamin, which does not mean belief, but it means verification. The Ye'om the Divrechem, that's what Yosef said. Now Shuchu Mikem Echad Vikachazir, the Ye'om the Divrechem, you'll be proven. Yeah, Vayamir Vashem Oshavdom means it was demonstrated, it was verified. That's what it means. Faith, the way it's used in the general population, is a Christian idea. And the Christian idea is simply because faith to them, in their religion, faith means, in spite of the fact that it's absurd, I still am forcing myself to follow my emotions and believe. It's the exact opposite. That's Avodah Zarah. All the old Avodah Zarah have to have that faith. Why? Because the mind tells them that it's crazy. So therefore, they must believe. What does believe mean? It means, in spite of the evidence, I believe. That's all the false man-made religions have to make recourse to such a thing, otherwise they can't exist, because rationality doesn't dictate that this thing makes any sense. So they must have faith. But by us, that word is treif. I mean, that word is we don't have such a word. Emunah, we have emunah, we have like this. Emunah, you have with regard to scharvanish. That's an area we say. You say it every morning, put it in tefillin. But v'rastachli b'munah v'yadat es Hashem. Emunah means that you have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mekayim what he said he would be mekayim, giving schar to the tzaddikim and onish to the rishayim. And even though I don't understand how he does it, I have no concept of how it works, but I maintain that it's so. But that's not, I use the word faith, but I don't mean what they mean by faith. I mean, that's a kind of a knowledge, because the Nevi'im have given us this knowledge of this universal principle, even though the details are, it's impossible for man to know the details. That's with regard to Schar Vanish. But with regard to Torah, faith is no good. With regard to Torah, you need Yediyah, you need Yediyah Hashem, you need Yediyah of Matan Torah, of Torah Misinai, and you need, Ato HaReis Ladas Kier Hashem Hu Lekim Ein Od Novado. Doesn't say Ato... Ata tzarch lahamin ki Hashem olkimena. Ata reis ladas ki Hashem olkimena. The psukim are clear. The people, the people that have of the world that have taken our Torah and have no concept of how to approach it or to unlock the secrets of the Torah, even to understand the Torah on a simple level, they've projected their pagan ideas onto the Torah. And unfortunately, many Jews think that are swallowed up by that because it's such a the power of the populace is very great. Yeah, it's the Gauls, yeah. Emunah means when I don't understand the area, but I have a general principle about it, but I know that general principle is true. Emunah would be like, if Emunah Sachamim. What is Emunah Sachamim? It means you go to a doctor. Okay, the doctor gives you a prescription. You don't understand how it works. You have no idea about it. But you have faith in him that he's right. But that's not faith. That's because it's based on the fact that you have knowledge that he knows what he's doing. I mean, otherwise you're going to a crazy man. But the same idea is true by Emunas Chachamim. It means when a person starts to learn, he's an Amoritz. So he doesn't know really what the Chachamim are. But the system teaches him that he must accept the fact that these people have knowledge, and he must subordinate his own ideas, his own whims and his own intuition to what the Chachamim tell him, because they're the ones that have the knowledge. That's certainly. That's Emunah. That's Emunah. But that's based on Yediyah. It's all based on Das. The only thing is, in the areas of Das, we can understand precisely what we're talking about, In certain areas, we don't know, we cannot understand the details. They're beyond our comprehension. Like how God operates in the sphere of Schar V'Onesh. We don't know. We know certain things about it. You see a certain Russia that does, nothing happens to him. God lets him get away with it, so to speak. Okay, how is that possible? So we say Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanan and Erech Apayim. That's God's midah of Erech Apayim. But can we say in specific, would we handle a situation that way? We wouldn't do it that way. But God does that way. It's based upon his wisdom and his knowledge, which exceeds any kind of knowledge that a human being with his small mind can possibly attain. Man subordinates himself to God's knowledge, and he recognizes that by definition he can't understand this area. Okay, just like he can't understand why tefillin is the perfect way to have zechiras yisus mitzrayim and not putting a sign on the wall. Okay, you can't understand that either. But that's based upon God's infinite knowledge. That's Emunah. That's Emunah. Okay?
Can you elaborate on the epistemology of probability theory and the danger of
on college? It's not a course of statistics over there. What is
it? You went into it on what is a... how we know what we know, and you were talking about the danger of the possibility.
How we know what we know?
Yeah, epistemology.
You can't answer how we know what we know, because there's no way to know. That's, that's today's upper courses, skepticism. I'll just give you the one Descartes really started with his question of when a person's dreaming, he thinks that he's convinced that it's real. So Descartes' question was, so how do you know when you're awake? Maybe you're also being deceived. Yeah, but the answer is very simple. The question is ridiculous, because how does Descartes know that he's awake and that he's sleeping? The reason is because his mind tells him that when he's asleep, he doesn't have a mind. So the eye in his sleep is an imagination eye. And his mind tells him clearly that the reason why you're in his sleep, you don't go by what he thinks is not true, is because the state of sleep is devoid of intellect. But the state of the waking state has intellect. So the mind itself is telling you that there's a difference between these two states, and that's why you accept the waking state. Now, if you're going to deny your mind, then you can't even ask the question. So, Mamanasha. So the whole thing's nonsense. Yeah.
Right.
The Sephorno says it means that when a person is boning the chokei asosa, is what the Sephorno says, which means to say that a person should investigate all the pros and cons and all the philosophical questions of Yadus, and vashevosa elavavecha, you should take those ideas that are true and bring them into your heart, which means that your emotions should be attached to the true ideas. That's what it means. But of course, there's been a lot of problems with this mitzvah, because the mitzvah is nitan l'shiurim, which means to say not everybody's capable of being an investigator, and you cannot. The greatest danger is for a person to investigate beyond his abilities, because then he's operating on his emotions and not operating with knowledge. So that's v'lo surach ha'levav v'vayi nechem, like the Rambam says. Person will get up one morning and say, did my mitzvah not happen or not? Well, I don't think it's not probable. Not. Next, say, yeah, it must have happened. That's nonsensical investigation. But a person that's on a level that is capable of investigating, this person, it's a mitzvah for him to investigate, like the Rambam, all the philosophies and all the ideas, and to see the truth, because Yadus maintains that if a person has a strong enough mind, and if his emotions, that's the most important thing, his emotions are under control, then his mind will just soar and he'll be able to see the truth. But not everybody's capable of doing that. I mean, I wouldn't recommend in the yeshiva that a guy should spend his time in metaphysics. I don't think anybody is ready for it. And it's an extreme danger. The greatest, that's really Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. That's really, wasn't Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. It means that the beginning of all Chachma is the recognition that there is an awesome existence that we can't approach, and we have to be very cautious how we approach it. And if we don't have that, then you wind up with crazy philosophies like the philosophers that you have in the world for the past few centuries. Okay. Vayasta Moshe Pano. That's what it means. Vayasta Moshe Pano. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't feel it wasn't ready. At that point, he was not ready to go beyond into the ultimate world of metaphysics, and he hit his face. And that's why Chazal say he received great schar for that. An extremely important thing. It's an extremely important principle in Yad. A person has to be careful. There are many questions that are very simple, but and they're very disturbing also. But you have to know that you must avoid those questions because you're not ready to tackle them at a certain point. But we don't say that they're intrinsically incapable of explanation. But at your level, if you're going to try it, you're going to wind up in serious trouble. That's Velo Sasurach HaLavav Garenechem. So it's a difficult halacha because everybody by nature, man's ego is very great, and when you tell somebody that he's not ready for this area, he's going to get upset. But a really great person is one that knows what he can do and what he can't do, and on the contrary, that's a measure of his greatness, that he recognizes that this time, this area is not for me to get involved in. I can't do it. Yes? What? That's because he's not capable of true knowledge. Either he's not capable mentally of analyzing the problem, or else his emotions are very strong, and he's not going to be able to see the truth. Usually the second reason, yeah? Although, I mean, the first one's also important, yeah? I don't get the question.
The idea of a person bringing his emotion.
Yeah. But the thing I will tell you is this, that while we don't understand how to remove our lasa lev, the solution, no doubt, lies, or the problem, is because of the fact that we're lacking a certain knowledge regarding ourselves and regarding our nature. That's where the problem lies. Okay, but we don't have such a knowledge, so it's a difficult problem. I mean, fortunately, most people are not plagued with this problem, but I have encountered people, you know, the minority, people that are plagued with this kind of a problem, and there's nothing much you can do. I mean, this is a very difficult problem. It's a very upsetting thing to see. Those people are usually very unhappy in life because they know that they're living improperly, and they really can't do too much about it. I mean, it's a difficult thing. Very difficult thing. Okay. All right, maybe we'll stop here, yeah? Well, there's a Ben Noach cannot achieve perfection by just keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs. He can't. It's not enough. The only thing is that if he doesn't keep the Sheva Mitzvahs, he has no right to exist. That's what it means. Is any human being that is not committed to the Sheva Mitzvahs has no right to exist. He forfeits his right of existence. If he just keeps Sheva Mitzvahs, he has a right to exist. But that's not perfection. Perfection is a long way off. Perfection involves, even for Ben Noach, it would involve the Isra of Lashon Hara, for instance. Has to. It would involve tshuva. It would involve searching for the truth. It would involve learning Torah, learning a Sheva Mitzvahs. That's what Chazal say, that Filu Akam Vasek Taras Moshe is Dino Kikoin Gadol. But that's only if he's Vasek Taras Moshe. If he just avoids the lavin, the negative halachas and the Sheva Mitzvahs, he doesn't achieve any perfection. I mean, we would not call that perfection. Then we'd say, that's why it says what Chazal say, Adam ki yomos bohel, atem kriyam Adam, the ein umos ha'olam kriyam Adam. Halacha means to say that a guy is not metame ball. Why? Because he doesn't have a definition of Adam. I keep Sheva Mitzvahs. That's still not Adam. He just has a right to exist. That's it. Because he's not. Because he's not obligated. Because God did not legislate. Outside of the nation of Israel. Outside that nation, he never legislated. The reason, of course, is tied to the whole concept of the Am HaNivchar, which means to say that in order to obligate people with Tayag, they have to have a whole system, they have to have people that Ovos, Imos, and people that they can identify with that are people of perfection, and people they can learn from that are part of their history and part of their present. I mean, in Yadis, the important thing is not history. As a matter of fact, the whole Torah is written in a way, strange way, that the that you see the way you see the Torah brings down stories and interrupts the story to bring you a parsha. And it's like very funny. You know, like in the middle of the Mises B'nai Aaron, so suddenly it says, Yom HaShem Al Aaron, Yayin V'Shech Al Teish, Ta'at HaVanech, it has nothing to do with the story anymore. Why? Because in the Torah, events are not, events are only things which are a backdrop, you see, for eternal ideas. Eternal ideas are the mitzvahs. But the events are recorded, but the importance of the events is only that they furnish a base for the eternal ideas. But that base is important as well. I mean, the base is important. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, that when God said to Moshe that I'll make a nation out of you, it wasn't a bad idea, what was wrong with that? But he said, no, he said that a shulchan of three legs can't stand, how could a shulchan of one leg stand? Which means that once, that if a nation comes from me, I'm going to be the one that they identify with, not the others anymore. And then it's not going to be able to be successful. So apparently the concept, the reason why Matan Torah was possible for Klal Yisrael and not for any other nation is because of the fact that they had the background, they had the backdrop of the Avos and the whole history that they had, which was not a history but a living history, living experience. Because the Jew really lives in the past. The past is real to him. Avraham Avinu is like it's like the Rav one time said that he listened to Goyim, that preachers listened to some of their sermons. He says there's no past for them. Like they have nothing attached to. Who do they attach to? They have nobody. But by a Jew, it's just the opposite. A Jew, I think that's the reason for the Yishpizin, by the way. What's the concept of the Yishpizin in the Sukkah? The Avram, Yitzchak, the idea over there is that these personalities are not gone. These personalities live with us all the time. So even though they may have passed away physically, but they're alive. I mean, they're part of our everyday life. And that's the Yerusha of the Adas. And apparently, if you don't have that, God could never impose Taryag on another nation. It wouldn't be successful. It wouldn't work. So therefore, they can't be chayav in such a system. So the only alternative is that you have the basic shev mitzvahs, which gives a person the right to exist, and hopefully among all the millions and billions of people, that some will be able to go to try to achieve perfection. And we'll turn to Torah to achieve perfection. Okay, but it can't be imposed on them as a mandatory system because they don't have the kelim, they don't have the, you understand, the qualifications, which is really the qualifications for the Am HaNivchar, which started with Avraham Avinu. Okay, we can do it because we can identify with the philosopher, the first philosopher of the system. We can identify with him as really like a parent, is of us. That means to say he's very close to us, and that emotional tie is a very powerful force in bringing a person in line with the ideas of Avram. It's a powerful force. You must have that psychological. Pull. That's why the nation exists. Without that, they'd never make it. Couldn't make it. With all the philosophy and all it is, and it's a proven fact. I mean, they were great philosophers. They're on the bookshelves. But even though many of them had true ideas, like the Rambam says, but they never could start a system. It's absolutely zero. It all died out. Greece today is a bunch of behemoths. Even though they had Aristotle and great thinkers, what are they today? Fishermen. There's nothing. I mean, the whole thing's gone. Buddle and huddle. And the same thing is true of every philosophical system that ever existed. None of them have ever been successful. The only one that's been successful is Yadus, because Yadus is profound philosophically and psychologically, and that's all. That's hashgacha. But you have to have that tie. Okay, even a ger, what does he call himself? Ben Avram. Ideological connection. You see, ideological relationship, and he knows that there's a nation that really are his offspring. So it's a power. That's a powerful emotion. But without the philosopher being the progenitor, that's the psychological idea that Yadis introduced. That the philosopher of the system has to also be the progenitor. If he's not the progenitor, it's not going to work. Okay. question was raised. It says that we say that the first mitzvah sasei, the first yisodi yisodos v'amar hachmas, is leida sheyesham motzei rishon. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. Okay. So the question is, of course, that and the Rambam continues. Hamotzi hazeh hu alakei ha'olam adon kol ha'aretz. Yeah. The ideas, and then in hey, he goes on to the Aristotelian proof. And then he says, V'yedias dover zeh mitzvah sasei. Shenemar anochi ad Hashem alakecha. So we already discussed this once before. We discussed that the Rambam's proof, the specific proof that the Rambam gives, was based on his physics, and that physics is obsolete. So and that's why, I mean, there's no doubt that that's one of the reasons that many have turned away from the Rambam's. From the Rambam's proof, because the proof is incorrect. Because of the later advances in physics, where inertia was discovered, Galileo's innovations, and later Newton, and the whole scientific framework changed drastically since the time of the Rambam. Even though the Rambam says, "V'yedias dover zeh mitzvah saseh, shenema anochi ad Hashem alakecha." So I explained that once before, and I said that what the Rambam means is that the Yesoda Yesodos is that there is no way, when a person studies nature, that there's no way that the universe can be explained in its own terms. That's what it means. It means to say that if you study the universe, you will always come to a point where it simply cannot be explained by virtue of the universe itself. But you come to a point where you must make recourse to a being that's outside of the universe. And the Rambam's time, the Rambam went each generation. I mean, you know, science changes, but the chiyuv mitzvah is to, insofar as you can, to gain knowledge of science and see where that, reach that point of the inexplicable. It will always be there in every generation, because no matter how much knowledge you're going to have, you're going to hit it. But the Rambam thought he hit it with his physics, but in fact he didn't hit it with his physics. But now it's a different physics, but now again you have the same thing. So the particular, what I wanted to say was the particular of where you where the intellect fails is different. When I say the intellect fails, I mean the intellect fails in terms of explaining the universe in its own terms as a closed system. Is different, but the mitzvah hasei can't be contingent upon the particulars of physics, because physics changes. But a person has ein lo dayan ela mashein avros, so a person is supposed to go to that point in his framework of knowledge where he sees that there must be something beyond the universe in order to explain the existence of the universe. That's the way I explain the Rambam. I say many have turned away from the Rambam because of the fact that his proof is obsolete, but I don't see any need to turn away from the Rambam. I think the Rambam is true today just as it was then. The only thing is that that the Rambam had no way of knowing, of course, that for hundreds of years, for centuries and centuries, the Rambam's understanding of the basics of physics were the same. And then it changed, and then we gained new knowledge. But if you look at the new knowledge, the proof that the Rambam gives is not much. It's different factually, but it's not much different, basically. In substance, it's the same. So therefore, the halacha simply demands that a person be at the frontiers of the knowledge of science so he could see God as behind the universe. It depends on one where you're at, but the mitzvah is always the same. That's the way I explained the Rambam a long time ago. But Rabbi Myers brought up another question, and the question is, who is capable of doing this? All right, are we capable of doing this? And on the one hand, I would say, and I mentioned this also, I mentioned that fellows in the yeshiva should not spend their time in this type of thing, but they should really, really spend their time and concentrate on learning and perfecting themselves in Gemara, Rashi, Tesis, Rambams. That's what the purpose of the years in the yeshiva is. And if you spend your time, you're going to dilute your time and spend it in physics and things like this, is just a waste, a total waste of time. First of all, because in order to be able to approach science in the way the Rambam is talking about, it requires a great depth of knowledge from halacha, which teaches a person how to think properly, and from hashkafa, and general knowledge of Torah before a person can approach it this way. I mean, you see, there are people that are scientists that are kofrim. So why should they be kofrim? Obviously, the reason is because their approach is improper and incorrect. And the approach where a person can see God from the universe, there are many physicists that were able to do so, but then you find many that were unable to do so. And we say that the ones that were unable to do so is because of some kind of lack in themselves, either in their character or in them, basically some distortion of the mind which prevents such a thing. It's like the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says in Hosea. Ibn Ezra says in Hosea Vav, where the pasuk says the neida nirdefal adas asar Hashem. Says neida nirdefal adas Hashem. By the way, that's the pasuk that refers to tefillah. So you see, that tefillah really is another form of knowledge. The Rambam is that pasuk is for tefillah. So tefillah is another form of knowledge. Says a shenera for the das Hashem ki ze sod kol hachmos ubavur ze levado nivro ha'odam rak lo yuchal das Hashem at she yilmod chachmos harbe shehen kmo sumom lalo sol zos hamaylo hal yona. Okay, so that's a tachlis das ha'odam, but the only thing is that you have to have other chachmos, and the other chachmos are like a ladder to reach this level. Okay, but the point is that's true, but the point is, I mean, you have to know how to climb the ladder. So it requires a lot of prerequisites in order, before a person can do such a thing. And the prerequisites are basically, without a doubt, like the Rambam says. The Rambam himself says later. The Rambam says that the thing that comes first is laid the horse of amutter, means shas. Okay. Yeah. He says v'nyone arbo haprokim elu shebachomesh mitzvos elu. Okay. He says, the yefsha sheyeda makol katan v'gadol ish v'isha bal lev rochev ubal lev kutzer. So the Rambam himself says that all the things in these prakim are really not for everybody. That's basically what he says, and that's why I say that the person in the yeshiva should not really go into these areas, but he should spend his time learning, because like the Rambam says, there are prerequisites. But the question that Rabbi Myers raises, if that's the case, so then it comes out that this first mitzvah, everybody can't be Mekayim, which is a good question. This criticism was lodged against the Rambam, by the way, because the Rambam says mitzvah Avas Hashem, and he says, Heyechi Aderech Lavaso V'Yerasa. So the Rambam explains, as you know, Bonin, Maisav, Chachmas Hashem, and then that leads to Avas Hashem and Yes Hashem. So Isaac Abarbanel raised the same question. He says, if that's the case, so Avas Hashem is not for everybody. That's what is bothering him. It's not for everybody. And that's why he gives a different definition of Avas Hashem. And others also have gone away from the Rambam's definition because of that problem. So the problem that Rabbi Myers raises is not the, you know, is not a simple thing. I mean, this problem has been raised by others before. And because of that, they veered away from the Rambam's definitions of Yedias Hashem and Avas Hashem. I would say, you see, I don't think that it's necessary to go away from the Rambam's definitions. I think that we have to understand that here we're dealing with something which is possible on different levels. And what the Rambam means is Yesoda, Yesoda is Vamada Chachmas Leida Sheyeshom Motzi Rishon. Leida Sheyeshom Motzi Rishon means to say that there's a primary level of this. You see, the question is, what is the definition of the word Leida? Okay, what's the definition of the word Leida? The word Leida is subject to variation of degree. There's a Yedia, which is a Yedia. Yeda, like the Ram says, she yodeya adam es adavar al burio. And he really knows it well. Okay, but then there's a yedia which is not so perfect. So why do we call it yedia if it's not perfect? It shouldn't be called yedia. It should be called amona. But the reason I believe is, and this is something which I always say, the question is, you know, when you say you have to have knowledge of something, so everybody says, well, what is knowledge? And then you get into an endless discussion of what knowledge means, and you can't get out of it. And then that's it. I mean, it's the end of it. But I have a very simple formula for what knowledge is. I think the definition of knowledge, we shouldn't be defining knowledge, but we should be defining something in the person. Which means to say that if we just look very simply, without getting into any definitions, we see there are different elements in the human mind. In other words, there's a part of the mind with which we study geometry. Okay? There's a part of the mind with which we have... Part of the mind that you have feelings for someone is not the same part of the mind that you use when you're working on a geometric problem. Okay? So therefore, what I choose to do is to define yedia not in terms of the substance of knowledge, but in terms of the faculty of the mind. That's my definition. So based upon that, I would say that the Rambam's definitions are not useless, even on a basic level, because what the Rambam, when the Rambam says Leida Sheyesham Alakam Motzri, he is not speaking. He doesn't mean to exclude a lower form of yedia. He doesn't mean to say the leida as a dover al burio necessarily. Of course, that's the ultimate. No question about it. It's a mitzvah. It's el dvar Hashem Amshir. I mean, you know, the more knowledge you have, the greater. But there is also a basic level. And the basic level means that God should be something that registers on the part of the mind with which a person seeks knowledge. It should register on that part of the mind. That's what it means. Now, in that being the case, if a person, for instance, has knowledge through Torah, it's the same. It would also be considered yedia. It's based on Torah Misinai. It would be considered yedia. Also, his concept of God. You see, the Rambam is very particular in what he says in that very first halacha. Before he gets into proofs, the very first halacha, Yisori Yisodos Vamana Chachmas Leidah Sheyesham Motzi Rishon. And what does he say? V'hu Mamtzi Kol Nimtza, V'chol HaNimtzoim Mishamayim V'Oretz U'Mashe B'Gneihem Lo Nimtzu Elo Me'Amitas Hi Motzo. What the Rambam means is that a person has to have a concept of existence, of God as being something which has the idea of existence that we have with regard to everything that we see in the universe. We should know that this existence, this concept of existence has as its root a pure, rarefied idea of it is it has a pure rarefied concept of existence. And that existence is the source. God is the source of all existence, which means to say that it has to register in the same part of the mind that the concept of existence registers. You see? And it shouldn't be something which registers in the fantasy part of the mind, which many people, the idea of God is something to them which is supernatural. Supernatural. Now, the word supernatural, I mean supernatural in a certain sense. I mean, supernatural is like something coming from the unreal, like the fantastic. You see, that's what the Rambam is against. The Rambam is against that concept that the idea of God should be one that registers on the reality principle of man, on the realistic part of man's mind, the source of reality. So it's tied into reality. It's not something which is like outside of the, from a different kind, the imagination part of the mind. That's what the Rambam's outruled. That the idea of God should not be an idea that is rooted in the imagination. And for many people, that's the case. For many people, that's the case. I mean, there's the real world, and then the world of God is like a different kind of a reality. It belongs more in the realm of imagination. There the Rambam says, if that's what your concept of God is, then you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Then you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. So, on the basic level, you see, that's really Halacha Aleph. That's Halacha Aleph. That the concept of God has to be something which the person knows, that the only approach to God is through knowledge, because God is the source of knowledge, and it's not something imaginary, like an extraneous being that's something outside that has nothing to do with reality. That's what the Rambam's against. So that concept, that really to me is the basis of what the Rambam is saying, that idea should exist in a person's mind, the way he views God. See, the way he views God, that's what the Rambam says. Mamtzi kol nimtza. It means you have a nimtza, and the way your mind understands a nimtza, that there must be a mamtzi. A mamtzi is related to the nimtza. It's not the same kind of existence, but the idea of existence that we have is a vague. It's a vagueness it's a vagueness, but at its source there is a pure absolute existence. Okay, there's something in common between the concept of existence that we have, and it stems from an idea that doesn't come from a different realm like the imagination, but it's more refined, but in the same realm, okay, in the same realm, so to speak. In other words, it's real. The idea of God has to register on the sense of reality of the human mind, and if it doesn't, then the idea of God is distorted. Now, this is possible for everyone. This is possible for everyone. And the same thing, I believe, is true with Avas Hashem as well. And I think that the Abarbanel's critique could be answered by the fact that it's possible on these various levels, that every person is capable on his level of seeing Chochmas Hashem and being astounded by Chochmas Hashem. It's, of course, a big difference between a plain person and a great mind. But still, he's in the realm. And the Rambam says that the things in these prakim a person's not ready to go into, what he's referring is to the proofs, to engage in the knowledge, in the corpus of knowledge itself. That is true. That a person is not ready to do. That's something else. But the basic concept, the basic idea, and where that idea is rooted in the human mind, that is for everybody. That is for everybody. In other words, according to the Rambam, if a person has an idea of God, but what is God? Some kind of, I don't know, it really falls into the figment of the imaginary. That's not God. That has nothing to do with God. That's just imagination. He has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Okay? That to me, that's what I believe the answer is to this question. Okay? So there is, in other words, there are two things. there is the particular knowledge that's necessary in order to see the demonstration of the existence of God. That's one thing. And then there is the concept of God. You see, the way the concept of God is supposed to register in the human mind. That's the basic. And if you don't have that, then of course you have no sheikhs to the Yesod Yesodos. Again, it's impossible. This is Rabbi Meir's question, a very good question. It's impossible to say that this is a mitzvah which we most of us can't do. It's Yesod Yesodos, Vomer HaChachmas. I mean, you say that most of Klal Yisrael can't be involved in the most important Yesod. You don't have the Yesod. I mean, everything falls down. The Yesod is the foundation. So you can't say that no one has the whole foundation of Yadus. Everyone can have the foundation of Yadus because everybody has a reality principle. And everyone can know where the idea of God is supposed to be placed in his mind. You see, that's the basic Yesod. Okay, and if you don't have that Yesod, that's why the Rambam says, Yesod or Yesod is for Omer HaChachmos. It means to say, then all your Chachmah is based on nothing. Of course, all Chachmah has to be based on an underlying existence. Pure existence. Then your chokhmah is really built on something. It's not built on that metaphysical basis. Then it has no basis. So what is it? It's nothing. It's not tied to God. It's not tied to the Borei Olam. And it's just whatever, limited, arbitrary, a certain sphere. It's like I always say, if a person studies a cell all his life, he has nothing to do with chokhmah Hashem. I mean, if he's limited to that, so he sees operations of a cell. What does that have to do with man's knowledge of God, or nothing. So there has to be that. There has to at least be the concept that we mentioned. There's Motzei Rishon. Okay. There's another question I think Rabbi Myers asked me a long time ago, maybe, but that's something which I think I would is worthwhile addressing at this point, and that is that after the years in the yeshiva, when a person gets older and he's, you know, if he ventures into these areas, the question is, how does he know if he could, if he's capable of handling it? That happens to be a difficult question. And people are, people have strayed off the path, and even the Rambam says that, the Gemara says, Acher, he went too far, he wasn't able to handle the knowledge. And there are Belozer, and, the old story, the Abba Nechtzulapartis. The only thing I would say is, that the person knows when he's ready to go into it because of the fact that, first of all, he has to have perfection of the midos, and then the person knows because, you see, there's a trail. I mean, if you follow Chazal carefully, Chazal set up a trail with markers. And these Chazal, if you study them, you absorb them and you keep them in your mind. But then, as a person goes on in life, so if he gains knowledge, if he's successful, Be'ezer Hashem, and he gains knowledge, a lot of these markers start lighting up. You see, and all of a sudden he sees. It's a process that he starts seeing the trail. That's when he knows he can go on it. You see, I mean, that's the only guide. And if he goes beyond that, then he's looking for trouble. I mean, he's not going to be successful. So it's a natural process. That's why it can't be defined. You can't say, when is a person ready? The person that's ready knows that he's ready, and the one that's not ready simply isn't. And it can't be any... there's one area where Chazal say you can't have a Rebbe for this. You can't teach in this area. It's an area where the person who sees it knows that this thing is opened up. He suddenly sees a panorama is opened up, and he sees, he understands his Chazal that he always... had absorbed, they start lighting up, and he sees what's happening there. He starts seeing things. Then he knows he can pursue. He can pursue those avenues. So it's not it's not something that you can give a fixed date for. It's a person knows. When a person he sees, he knows. Of course, it's always with the guidelines of Chazal. And that's the experience. That's what I would say. That the trail has been made. And when the person sees the trail, he sees he can tell he's on the trail. And of course, it's the big danger there is tremendous, tremendous danger. And Yadus recognizes that danger because since Yadus is a religion which is based on ultimate knowledge, the biggest danger that Yadus has, of course, the first danger is Avodah Zarah. That's the That's the most basic danger in the Torah. But the second danger in the Torah is for a person to go beyond his abilities. Because man's ego is very great, and everyone thinks that he could do it, and everyone feels that he doesn't want to, he may even have some, justifiable feelings. He doesn't want to go through this life without having this great knowledge. You know, it's understandable. But a person has to realize that he can't be ambitious beyond his abilities. It's a very hard thing to do for a person to accept his own limitations. That's the most difficult thing. That was Vigbalta Sahar Soviv Lema. Yishamru Lachem Negoa Me'alos Bahar Negoa Bekatseo Pom Negea Bahar Yumas. So that was the whole thing on HaSinai, that there were different boundaries. People have to know. You have to know the limitation, your own particular limitations, and you have to know the limitations of the human mind. I mean, that's the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim is not an apologetic. The Rambam's Mor Nevuchim is a logical analysis of the limitations of the human mind, and he shows why the problems that people have in relationship to God are oftentimes based on the fact that that knowledge is intrinsically unknowable for man, if you just analyze the human mind. So it's not an apology. Rambam's not just saying, you can't, there's an answer, but we can't give you the answer. No, the Rambam's showing that logic dictates that the mind can know logically where its limitations are. That's an important thing. That's the concept of the Al Yavo B'Chaleis El HaKodesh Mibeis LaParochas. The concept of not entering into Kodesh HaKadoshim except four times a year in Yom Kippur. And why? I mean, that's it. V'lo Yomos. So, Ki Be'onon Eiro Al HaKaparos. Because there's an onon, there's a cloud there, and it's not possible to see clearly. So that's one of the, that I would say, like I said before, that the first problem that Yadus has is to teach men how to relate to God without falling prey to Avodah Zarah. That's the most basic problem of Kol Torah Kula. And the second problem is to teach a person that he shouldn't go beyond his own capabilities and his own limitations, like the pasuk says, "Vayechazu es Elohim kin vayochlu vayishtu." So the pasuk says that was a serious avera. Serious avera. What does Rashi say? It's interesting. Rashi over there, by the way. So Rashi says that the Rashi is a beautiful Rashi there. It's a little tricky there. I mean, Agav Rochel just throws in. Rashi says that what do they see? It says the sachas raglov kemase livnas hasapir. Sachas raglov kemase livnas hasapir. So Rashi agrees with those that condemn their view. By the way, that condemn their view. Okay, I think Unkelus praises it. Right. Yeah, the Unkelus learns differently. The Rambam Rashi criticized their view. So the Yechsos Alkimo Yemistaklim Bo Belev Gas Mitoch Achilosh Sia. Okay, so Rashi condemns their view, like the Rambam says. And it says Vayechazu Kemase Rizgay, so Nistaklu Vitzitzu Veschaivu Misa. So what's wrong? Sounds good. But of course, Baruch Hu Zocher the Shibud. We don't believe that. Of course, we believe that. And Kishiniglu Haya Or V'Chevelafon. What's wrong? So what's the answer? The answer is that somehow or other they perceived the change. And we don't know what their philosophical speculation was. A general idea. But we absolutely obviously don't know because they were at a very high level. But what's implicit in the description of their view is that they perceived the change in God. Some kind of a change. And that was wrong. Because first it was He hoys a fun of Bishasa Shibud and Mishin Nigalu. It means they perceived they had a wrong perception of God, and somehow or other they perceived the change. That was destructive. That was destructive. And that's why they had no right to go into that to contemplate God. You see, that's in general. I mean, that's what Yadus that's the Rambam on Velosurach Velavachon Chreinechem. That a person who was the person who's imperfected, all his investigations are basically emotions, and that's an Isidoraisa. So that's the second greatest danger that Yadus recognizes, and it's a very tough one because man's ego is very great, and everybody feels that he's he can go into these areas. But a person has to be very cautious and very careful, and know his limitations and know when he can handle certain problems and when he can't handle certain problems. And even though those problems are gigantic, but you have to be able to say, look, I just can't. It's a tremendous problem, but I can't handle it. That's it. I don't know the answer. You see, you have to be able to do it. Okay. Mark asked the question: What process could a person use in order to mekayim that mitzvah, to make sure that the idea of God is rooted in reality? It's an introspective process. In other words, everything that you do and that you think is always a siman for something. And if a person goes through his life, he will see that the way that if he relates to God as in a realistic sense, then the ideas in his religious life will be of a certain kind. Whereas if he relates to God in a way, fictional, imaginational way, then his ideas of God and his practices and the way he approaches mitzvahs and the way he does things, I mean, it has effects, far-reaching effects in his whole attitude and his whole life. And I think a person has to, if a person is intelligent, then what he does is he sees from his practices, you know, where does this stand? Once I'm doing this, well, you know, this is because it's based upon this crazy idea. In other words, whatever with the yesodos, when it's a yesod, it means it permeates his whole existence, everything he does, his whole religious life. So you have to examine your religious life, and you'll see the signs there, if you examine it properly, whether it's based upon a yedias Hashem or whether it's based upon some kind of imagination. I mean, I think if a person is astute and he's introspective, he'll be able to make those discoveries. And I think it's something which, of course, is a process that's is subject to variation of degree. And a person will you know, as he goes on and examines himself, he'll gain a greater hold on himself and, you know, perfect himself more with this process.